Hey there, everybody. It is August the 24th, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken, and as always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com, strolling on over to thisshowissogay.com to find out all the fun goings-ons with our show, and of course, going to the Facebook, typing in This Show Is So Gay, liking us, because we like you. A lot to talk about on this week's show, so we got to start with a guest. Hey, guest, are you ready?
I'm totally ready.
All right, let me introduce you. Kiyomi McCloskey is the lead guitarist and vocalist of Hunter Valentine, an all-girl, queer, in-your-face, cutting-edge, touring-around-the-world music extravaganza. Kiyomi, I had originally said band, but I felt music extravaganza was better.
I think it's, you know, that much more gay-sounding, so perfect.
Welcome to the show. They released a 7-track self-titled Self-Financed, which we'll talk about, album in 2005. Their first full-length album, The Impatient Romantic, in 2007. And in 2010, they released Lessons from Late Night. They have some of the most passionate fans around, and with good reason. Kiyomi McCloskey, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, we got to just out you from the start. Where are you standing right now?
I'm standing on the side of the highway somewhere in North Carolina on my way to Nashville with a flat tire that we've been trying to cater to for the last 3 hours.
And this isn't a metaphor, Kiyomi. You really are doing this.
I really wish I could tell you it was a metaphor, Ken, but it's not. It's not. There is a kind southern gentleman named Melvin underneath our car right now, our van, trying to get the spare tire down, but it's not quite working.
All right. So what do you feel that your role is in this current situation?
Well, I'd like to say that I'm getting all like butch on the situation, but it's just too hot out here and I don't really feel like it. So my bandmates are cheering Melvin on.
Yay.
He's keeping us entertained by telling us stories about his baby's mama.
Awesome.
And it's actually not as bad of a situation as you would think. It will be if we miss the show, though, you know?
You're not going to miss the show. I mean, and in the intro, look at that. There's a flat tire and you're doing a press tour right now.
I know. We're so, you know, we're always keeping busy on the Lady Killer tour.
All right. So much to talk about, Kiyomi. Are you ready?
I'm totally ready. Let's do it.
Let's start from the beginning. How did you and Adrian and Laura come to create Hunter Valentine?
Well, when I graduated from high school, I knew right away that what I wanted to do with my life was play music. So I started playing shows around Toronto, which is our hometown in Canada, just acoustically. And I was doing that and sort of like, you know, getting my name out there, but not as Hunter Valentine. And then you know, being underage, I snuck into a gay bar.
Nice.
Actually.
Nice.
And I was kind of like, thought I was a real badass when I was younger. And I was wearing like these weird 80s cycling glasses to kind of just mess with people a bit.
Okay.
And Laura Petraca, the drummer, was there. And she came up to me kind of like, who does this kid think they are, you know?
Yeah.
And we started talking about music right away, and we really hit it off, and we've been best friends and musical life partners ever since. We started without Adrian, and we were introduced to her through a queer musician, actually, from the 80s. Her name's Lorraine Segato. She was in the Parachute Club.
Okay.
And, yeah, she introduced us to Adrian, and that was, like, the final piece of the puzzle, and we started playing shows.
Did you actually hear a click when Adrian played bass that first time?
Totally. We were like, this is it, we're done.
Nice. Love yeah. that. For folks who have not heard Hunter Valentine, how would you describe your sound?
I would say that it is gritty. Oh, there's some banging going on over there now.
Nice.
It's gritty, raw rock and roll with a little punk rock edge and a sweeter melodic side to it as well.
Okay. And you guys went through a period of self-financing, and I don't think that people actually understand what that means, what that looks like. It's a little harder than it sounds, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, we're just doing everything for ourselves, and we started out that way, so when we parted ways with our Canadian label, we still kind of work with them a little bit, but mm-hmm. basically we just started doing things on our own, and we weren't about to slow down, you know? Like, we had the fans demanding that they wanted more music and they wanted more touring, so we had to keep up with those demands. And, you know, it's our livelihood and it's what we do, so we weren't about to slow down for any record label. So we just took things into our own hands and, you know, kept a very do-it-yourself attitude in our heads, and we put out a record on our own, basically.
And you mention your fans, and I will tell you, you already know this, but I'm telling other people, you have some pretty darn passionate fans, do you not?
Yeah, we do. We're really, really, really lucky that, you know, we have such a great support system of Hunter Valentine fans. You really couldn't ask for better fans than the people who support us.
I know this because they started writing me as soon as I posted that you were going to be on the show. And I'm like, all right. So what
really?
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh yeah. What do you think that you guys are tapping into that listeners aren't getting from other artists?
I think that there's a certain kind of like excitement and energy that comes from a live show, and the fans take home that experience, and they, you know, it's just like, becomes like a built-in memory into their minds, you know, and it's something that's it's always like a unique and special performance, and we play our hearts out when we're on stage, and I think that they can really see that and relate to it and relate to what we're trying to say. So
nice.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Nice. And you've already said the Q word. You guys proudly wear the label queer, and we've had so many artists on the show and talked about how there are musicians and artists and record label execs who are still advising against that. Why have you chosen not to listen to them?
Well, because our music is all about honesty. You know, whether it's a song about your heart being broken or a song about the music industry, it's all about honesty. So it would be a contradiction to deny to our fans and the general public who we were, you know. Our number one goal when we started playing music was to play to as many people as possible and, you know, not limit ourselves. So we're definitely not trying to just play within the queer community, but we also made a promise to ourselves that we would never deny who we were. And so that's why we wear it on our sleeves.
Now, we talk about this a lot with queer musicians on the show. Do you notice differences when you play to a predominantly queer audience as opposed to a straight one?
No, I think, you know, people are people, and we're just happy to have them in the room and have people listening and appreciating the music.
Nice. Now, you guys tore a freaking ton, Kiyomi.
I know.
You guys tore a ton. How do you avoid tour fatigue? I am exhausted looking at your tour list.
I really, you know, it's our livelihood being out on the road. We really love it. We love people. We love traveling. We love food, and that, you know, every town that we get to, we try and explore, like, what that culture is all about. So it's really just, like, our favorite place to be is in the van on the road, you know? Except for right now, because we're not moving. But
and
yeah.
If you're joining us late, it's because of the flat tire, not the interview.
No. Yeah, it's our favorite place to be. It's our passion. We get to do what we love every single night, and you know, we feel very grateful for that.
And no tour drama. There aren't points where you and Adrian get together and say, ugh, what are we going to do about Laura? Because I've seen enough episodes of VH1 Behind the Music to know it's always the drummer causing the problems.
Oh, it's true. She's crazy, but she's crazy in a good way, you know. There would be no Hunter Valentine without her. She's the best.
And we should say, where does the name come from?
You know, we wanted to create sort of like a fictional character that was like the ultimate heartbreaker. So kind of like a James Dean-like character. And that was the name that we picked, and it just stuck. And we believe that everybody has a little bit of Hunter Valentine in them. And, you know, like everybody will have their heart broken, and everybody will break a heart. And it's the space in between that represents Hunter Valentine, where you're like reclaiming that heartbreak.
How do I go about claiming my inner Hunter Valentine?
I'm sure it will come out at one point in your life. You never know when it's going to hit, but once it does, be ready, okay?
Oh, well, not just me. It sounds like other people should be ready, too. Now, there's a lot going on your Twitter account. We can learn a lot on the Hunter Bout. Like, for example, you could learn that you're having a flat tire, or perhaps one could read something about skinny dipping.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're having a great time out on this tour because we're, like, out with two of our best friend bands, you know, Vanity Theft from Ohio and Sick of Sarah from Minnesota. And these girls are, like, it's so amazing to see other female musicians just, like, pounding it out on the road the same way that we do. And we were fortunate enough to meet these young women over the last couple tours, and we said, hey, why don't we put all three of us together? And it's just madness out here. Like, the other night, there was, like, a band wrestling match in the green room where, like, different band members would, like, partner up and wrestle each other. That was a good one.
Okay.
And then, yeah, the other night, they broke into a pool and went skinny dipping.
That's interesting that it's they. There was no I. There was no we.
Well, I had something else to attend to, actually.
Okay. Okay, just checking. And I am only picturing for the wrestling match that no one wanted to take on Laura.
No. Funny enough, Brittany, the guitar player from Vanity Theft, gave Laura a bloody nose.
Oh, my.
I know. It's always the quiet ones that surprise you in wrestling matches.
Do you ever think about, hey, this is what Hunter Valentine behind the music is going to look like?
Totally. I mean, you should also jump on YouTube or on the Lady Killer, which is the name of the tour, the Lady Killer website. All of these tour videos are being posted, and it's pretty entertaining.
Nice.
We should have our own reality show, I think.
It sounds like you do. That's fantastic. Now, I want to talk for a second, Kiyomi, about your parents, because I was reading in an interview that you have incredibly supportive parents. Do you not?
Yeah, it's true. Like I said, like, I knew right away when I finished high school that I was going to play music, and they supported that. They let me go travel around for a while and, you know, figure it all out. But, yeah, they've been coming to shows since I was, like, 16, and they still get, like, pumped and bring out as many people as they can when we have a hometown show, which is pretty amazing.
So what has that meant to you? Do a little love letter to your parents on our show.
All right. Dear Mom and Dad, thank you for accepting who I am and allowing me to do what I love. Without you, I would not be on the side of the road where I am today. And every show I play, keeping you guys in mind.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, we got to talk about the music. You ready to talk about the music?
Totally, yeah.
All right, this is the part of the show, Kiyomi, where we picked a couple songs that we particularly love. We love all your stuff, but we picked a couple of our favorite songs. And you need to tell our listening audience, Kiyomi, what these songs, we'll make you embody the entire group, what these songs say about Hunter Valentine. A little self-analysis for our listening audience, okay? We'll only make you do a couple of them. What does Wait and See by Hunter Valentine say about Hunter Valentine?
Well, Wait and See is about somebody's struggle with addiction, and it's kind of about pulling through and really recognizing the weaknesses in yourself and coming out stronger because of that.
Nice. And so Hunter Valentine can do that.
Yeah. I believe, and Hunter Valentine believes, that you have to recognize your faults to grow, you know? And once you can do that, you can really become a bigger and better person.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm only going to make you do one more. And I have to tell you, this is my favorite track. What does A Youthful Existence say about Hunter Valentine?
It says that no matter how old we get, we're always going to have that youthful fire within us. And we're never going to slow down. That's what it says about Hunter Valentine.
How long do you want to keep this Hunter Valentine thing going for?
I can't say that. I don't know. I'll always have it in my heart.
There you go.
I don't see it slowing down anytime soon.
We certainly hope not. All right, tell us we want to hear some cool fan interaction stories. Because I was reading some interviews, and you really have gotten some amazing fan mail. And gosh, we've received emails all week long from folks who are just so appreciative of how open and honest you all are. What are some face-to-face interactions that have stuck with you?
Oh, you know, there's so many. It's hard to pick out one, but, you know, even a young kid at an all-ages show came up to me one time and practically in tears telling me that, you know, the music has really, like, kept them going and allowed them to, like, get through how hard high school has been for them and really taught them that it's important to stand up for themselves and be themselves and that kind of thing. You know, we hear stories like that often, and it's really, it's amazing that music can help carry that message and make people feel stronger because of it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, and then we've also had, you know, crazy interactions with fans where one show we'll play and they're like, sign my arm. And then we'll come back through that city like 4 months later and they're like, look at my arm.
Oh, no.
And it's tattooed. The signature is tattooed on their arm.
Oh, that's pretty cool, though.
It's pretty crazy.
I thought we were going towards it. They never washed their arm, and I really want your fans to bathe.
Yeah, nope. They tattooed all of our signatures all over their arms.
Oh, wow.
And then the craziest part about it is that they were like, do it again. And so we signed it, and then we came back again, and they got a second tattoo.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How do you process that?
I just think it's like that kind of dedication and support is amazing. Like, it's crazy. It's great.
Wow. I wanted people, Hunter Valentine fans, to get like the audio of this interview just implanted in their brain.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great. All right. Well, I know you're touring right now. What do you have coming up? Because I assume after you just got the tire off, which is very exciting, and you're going to get a new tire on there, and then you're going to go somewhere, right?
Yeah, we're headed to Nashville, and it's our first time in Nashville, my first time in Nashville in general, and so I'm really, really excited for tonight's show.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're
doing our rounds around the country. There's like 26 more shows all around the U.S., and then when we get home, we're going to start thinking about making a new record. We're actually going to take a break from touring and get in the studio and really, you know, figure out how we want this next record to sound.
Do you already have some ideas?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing a couple new songs while touring, so those songs will definitely be on the record. But yeah, there's a ton of writing to do, and that's the whole other side of things. It's like getting in a room and being creative with your best friends. It's awesome.
And what does that process look like? We have so many. I would say the number one question we have gotten from listeners over the years is, I have these ideas, but I just can't seem to express them. What advice would you give to our listeners who are trying to get those ideas from their head to the paper?
I would say, you know, try not to overthink things and just get it all out first, you know, and then see what you have. Once you start overthinking things, it's not such a natural process, you know. It needs to just pour out of you. And I know that's hard for a lot of people, but I always just like sit with an acoustic guitar in my bedroom and like just totally by myself and fool around with it until I come up with something that really represents what I'm trying to say.
And therein you find your inner Hunter Valentine.
Exactly.
I'm getting it, Kiyomi. Where can folks go to learn all about the cool things that you guys are doing?
They can go to our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is Hunter Valentine, just the name of the band. And then we're going to have a new website any day now. It's huntervalentine.com. Or you can go and check out our MySpace /Hunter Valentine.
Fantastic. I got to tell you, I've been listening to your music all week. I am now officially a fan. You guys are putting stuff out there that is so unbelievably accessible. It's like you're telling your own story and you're singing your own words, but you just do it in such an open and honest way that your listeners can connect. And I can see why you have rabid fans, because it really is music that speaks to all of us, and just so appreciative of what you three are doing.
Thank you so much, and I'm appreciative of what you're doing. This is an awesome show.
Well, thank you. So all our best to Adrian. Tell Laura we miss her, but she's got to calm down a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So
she's actually the butt's putting the tire on right now.
Nice. All right. So she's got to keep doing what she does. And you, you know, be careful with the wrestling, Kiyomi.
I will. Okay. You know, usually I just play referee, so it's okay.
That's your role. That's your role in the band. Kiyomi, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. We are looking forward to so much more from Hunter Valentine.
Thank you so much.
All the best.
All right.
Bye, Kiyomi.
Bye.
It was the hardest part. I fought myself for hope, and when I finally came up dry, I was the first to choke.
And of course, I say we because...
Hello!
Jody's here.
Hi.
Busy week.
Very, yeah.
But we're making time for gay news.
We are making time for
gay news. We are making time for gay news and quite a bit of gay news to talk about. So we're going to start on a sad note so we can get the sad note out of the way.
Okay.
And then later we're going to have a lot of other sad notes.
Oh.
But We'll just start with this one. Okay. I see now how that didn't work out.
No, not really.
So our condolences from everyone here at This Show Is So Gay to the family of Marcellus Richard Andrews, who was pronounced dead at 3:30 p.m. this past Sunday. He died after being removed from life support by relatives at an Iowa City hospital. He had suffered, and we covered this on the show back when, he suffered severe injuries in a fight that began with anti-gay taunting. So, very sad.
It's really sad.
But these things are still happening.
Yeah.
These things are still happening. All right, but we're going to move on from that. Now, this is kind of interesting. A lot of topics for Jody reflection.
Ooh.
Do you want to start with the political one or the school-based one?
Let's start with the political one, and then we'll move to school.
That is the order I put it in.
Hey.
So you got the right answer.
Ooh.
So over in New York, where I am from, I'm from New Jersey, but I say New York on this show. New York Assembly member Dove Hickhind, I might be saying his name. We'll just call him Dove.
Okay.
He is among the most outspoken opponents of marriage equality in the state legislature. Now, he said that he will not endorse David Weprin, who is a fellow Democratic lawmaker and Orthodox Jew, because who is going to it's said that Weprin might replace Representative Anthony Weiner, who had some Twitter issues.
Mm-hmm.
He had there was some malfunctioning with the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his fault.
Uh-huh.
So he is not going to, Dove is not going to support David Weprin because of Weprin's vote for marriage equality. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Not any of the other issues.
Right. Just that one.
Just that one. Mm-hmm. According to the New York Post, Dove, who represents Brooklyn, said he would not support Weprin in a special election on September 13th to replace Weiner. The former congressman resigned, as we know, in June. I don't have to cover that because his Twitter malfunctioned. So the Post reports that Dove may endorse someone else, a Republican candidate for the congressional seat. And people are not they're not happy with Dove because he represents a sizable Orthodox Jewish population. Anyway, blah-de-dee, blah-de-dee, blah. He's not supporting him because of his support for gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
When you meet people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How much, you meet people.
I do meet people, yes.
How much of a deal breaker is it for you, their support or lack of support for gay marriage?
Well,
I think we've actually talked about this topic before.
We may have. Generally speaking, it's not the first thing out of my mouth.
Okay.
When I'm meeting people, I don't say, "Hi, my name is Jody. By the way, what is your opinion of gay marriage?"
I tend to ask them, though, right after I ask them what their sign is.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, since that's not my tradition, that usually doesn't come up until, you know, we've had dinner at least once.
Okay. So you've had dinner once.
Okay. We've had dinner once. And if that comes up, I would have a very serious conversation about them about why. Can you tell me why?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously at this point you've realized, because they're probably having dinner with me and my wife.
Okay.
And I refer to her as my wife. So if they're starting to squirm about that, we might have already brought up, yes, she's my wife.
Huh. I did not realize, though, that when you keep saying that she's your wife, I just thought you meant roommate.
No.
Okay.
Wife is a very different word than roommate. In fact, there are very few letters that are the same, except for, I believe, the E.
Okay. I just assumed you meant roommate, and that one day we had just a buffet dessert party because it was nice out.
My wife made the dessert.
Oh, I see now how that was some sort of marriage. It's my bad. So you ask them why, and they say because, well, regardless of whatever the reason. So they have a reason, whatever it may be.
Yes.
Do you try to argue them? Well, that's not even my question. Not even saying that you are going to try to change their mind.
Right. No.
Do you have a desire to hang out with them again? Or let me more appropriately ask, did it just decrease?
It kind of depends on how they're presenting themselves. If it's going to turn into a big deal and they are getting argumentative about it, then probably not. This is probably it. We're not going to have dinner again because I don't want our relationship to be about that issue. If we have lots of other things in common, like say the reason we're actually having dinner is because we're huge Joss Whedon fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we met because we were both talking about Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really into Firefly and we're having this great Firefly conversation and we're going out to dinner because we love that. And then all of a sudden this comes up. And if they're like, well, I have issues with gay marriage, but we don't have to talk about that. Then that's the end. That's the end. We can then continue having.
I respectfully disagree.
You can respectfully disagree. That's fine.
Yeah. I don't think I would ever be able to not think about it. I just think that it's one of those issues where I also, it's not a question that I ask people. It's not something that comes up. But once it does come up, and it's even a non-issue, it's not an argument. It's just a, oh, no, I don't support gay marriage. I think that they that those people should have, okay, those people would be bad. But I think that
if those people came out of that person's mouth, then we're not hanging out. It's really how they present it for me.
I do think that those mentally challenged people should, no, but even if they just said, I just think that marriage is a word that should be between a man and a woman, but I think that they should have the same rights. It would decrease my desire to hang out with them again. Even if we never talked about it again, I would never be able to stop thinking about it.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, it still might come up in the back of my mind, but if everything else, and again, if they were like, we don't have to talk about that, we're just not going to agree.
Yeah.
Period. Then we can still have a friendship if it's based on all this other stuff.
See, I fear that if we continued with the friendship and we were talking about Buffy, I would say, oh, didn't you love Homophobia when Cordelia? And it would just slip right out. And so I would be concerned about that.
Well, actually, given their support of Joss Whedon anyway, there's hope that their opinion in not supporting gay marriage is actually a very weak one.
You keep clinging to that hope. Let's do the school story. Let's do the school story. So, oh my God, are you going to have opinions on this one? A Central Florida teacher has been suspended.
Okay.
And he's facing disciplinary action following reports that he posted comments blasting same-sex marriage on his personal Facebook page. Okay. The Lake County School Board is investigating Jerry Buell. B-U-E-L-L. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce anyone's name this week. That's fine. Okay. He was suspended from the classroom last week and reassigned to administrative duties. He told the Orlando Sentinel that he wrote the post on his own time, on his own personal computer. Okay. Own time, own personal computer.
Yeah.
He's a social studies teacher, which is kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
At Mount Dora High School. Okay. He is known to not mince words when it comes to his religion. When he saw that New York legalized gay marriage, he did what many people do. He expressed his opinion on Facebook. He wrote something along the lines of, it makes me sick, and he called gay marriage a cesspool, and one of his more than 700 Facebook friends saw it and complained to the district. He is a veteran social studies teacher and a one-time school teacher of the year. He wrote on his Facebook post that he, quote, almost threw up after watching a news story about gay marriage in New York. He said the post wasn't done, quote, out of hatred. It's just about the way that I interpret things. And now the district has to determine whether or not he violated the school's code of conduct. He is saying, unsurprisingly, he is exercising, quote, I'm exercising my rights, First Amendment rights guaranteed in the Constitution, supported by the state of Florida, on Facebook. He argues again that they were made on his own time, Jody.
Yeah.
On his own computer at home during the summer.
Except he's still a role model all the time. All the time.
But isn't he being a role model for First Amendment rights?
Perhaps for First Amendment rights, but not for supporting any of his students or alumni or parents.
You would support his suspension?
I would support his suspension.
Huh.
On the basis of him not being mindful of hateful speech as a role model. This is an ethical thing, not a legal thing.
Right.
For me, being a role model, you need to watch what you say on Facebook. I don't care if it's your personal Facebook. It's out there. Anything online is out there. Everyone's going to see it. And if you're going to post something that volatile, you need to know that everyone that you don't want to have see it is probably going to see it.
On his own time.
I know that. Doesn't matter. Everyone.
And people, he's not friends with any students.
That's fine. It still gets out there.
I don't know, by the way, if he is friends with students.
Who knows?
Or not,
who knows what his policy is on that? But
by the way, don't be friends with students, teachers. It's confusing for them. Go ahead. This service announcement brought to you by me. This show is so gay at AOL.com. Just want to put that out there.
Anyway, I think he should not have said that. If he wanted to write it in his journal that is not read publicly, I think that's a different story. But I think when you are a public figure like that and you're writing in a public venue, regardless of whether you have filters on it or not, people are going to see it who are going to be kind of shocked, kind of upset, who maybe didn't know that before, especially students, alumni, and families. It's just not okay.
He's not friends with any students or anyone even in the district. It just turns out that a cousin of a neighbor,
yep,
of a dog catcher saw it, and it went that far.
Yeah.
I don't know that to be true. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He is in control of his Facebook account, and he's very careful that no one from the community is on there. Yeah. Do you still support his suspension?
Yeah.
And would you support his suspension if you found out that he was posting inappropriate pictures of underage students?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Oh, yeah.
I should say, we should pause right here. That did not happen.
No.
I do not want your angry emails, except that I kind of do. Please write us an angry email. This show is so gay at AOL.com.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that's the deal with Facebook, and people are not sure what's public and private. Do I post inappropriate things on Facebook?
I don't think you do.
I don't think that I do.
I'm really careful, too.
Yeah. People should be careful about that.
They should really be careful about that.
Just putting that out there. Okay. Yeah. Over in Uganda, this is just an update. So people think that the Kill the Gays legislation is dead, but apparently it's not totally dead. The Ugandan cabinet made its clearest attempt yet to rid the legislative agenda of the Kill the Gays bill. But Parliament's David Bahati isn't listening, potentially keeping the bill on a fast track towards passage. The Daily Monitor reported today that the ruling party's lawyer convinced cabinet ministers during a meeting that the bill is unnecessary. He advised them to search the archives because other laws already criminalized homosexual acts. It's not done. The Kill the Gays legislation, in some parts of the Ugandan legislature, is done, but in others is very much not. So you should be thankful for where you live.
Yeah.
Unless it's Uganda. And I've been there. And,
yeah, I know. And you made it out alive.
I made it out alive. And yeah. So look at the cool things that people are doing in Uganda. Do not define Uganda by the Kill the Gays bill. Go listen to our show from a couple of weeks ago with Sylvia Allen, strolling over to sylviaschildren.org, because people are doing some great things in Uganda. Mm. And that's just one example.
Yep.
Let's talk about deportation.
Oh.
I swear to you, everyone's got names that I can't do this week.
Oh, no.
Alex Benchimol, a Venezuelan married to American Doug Gentry, will not be forced to leave the U.S. after the White House opted not to pursue a deportation case against him. So this is a good thing.
Yes.
The decision to drop the case reflects a change in policy to pursue deportation cases against illegal aliens engaged in criminal activity instead of cases against undocumented people who haven't run afoul of the law and have family connections in the U.S.
Mm.
Now that is, I would imagine, that you don't even want to be here right now. You want to just run home and tell your wife, because that's going to be really good for her.
She's not from a different country.
No. This totally... Wait, she's Minnesota.
Yes. Yes, she's from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is good. She might not get deported.
No.
Because she has not, right? Am I right? I am correct that she has not run afoul of the law.
No, she has not. But Minnesota is not another country. Did you not know that Minnesota is a state of these United States?
No, I'm just saying it's not one of the 50. I'm looking at the computer screen right now. It says they're not one of the 50.
One of the 50 nifty United States?
Yeah. It might have been. You haven't been on in a couple weeks. Has this happened since you've last been on the show? I'm telling you, I'm trying to express good news that your wife, who is not just your roommate, it's a wife. I went to the wedding, which I now realize was a wedding.
Yes.
That she's not going to get deported. And you're all like, semantics. It's weird. You're weird. You're a weird lady. There's that deportation story. I feel like I can't go right from that to this next story.
But I think you probably have to, don't you?
So there's a new lesbian panic defense.
Oh,
I know.
Wow.
I feel really bad.
Instead of the Twinkie panic defense, it's now the lesbian panic defense.
Here's the new one. James Craig Kaler. Again.
Yeah.
I apologize to anyone whose name that I said tonight because I didn't get any of them right. So James, although I'm not apologizing too much to James Craig Kaler, the Meridian, Kansas man who is accused of murdering his wife. their two teenage daughters and her grandmother in 2009. I don't even really remember that. He told a Kansas Bureau of Investigation special agent that he was upset because his wife began a lesbian relationship. I almost just said lesbianic. Is that a verb that or an adjective that we can use?
I'm
bionic. I'm lesbianic. A lesbian relationship that broke up their marriage. He is charged with capital murder. Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Because he's saying that another woman tried to invite them into the bedroom for a threesome, and he said that he had a great marriage and a perfect family, and then he realized that she might be a lesbian, so she had to die.
Uh-huh.
So that's the lesbian panic defense.
Wow. No.
Well,
he was just really, really, really angry and snapped and upset and did the unthinkable.
It's no until you get a jury and you get one freaking person on that jury who is like, yeah, oh my God, what the hell would I do if my wife was lesbianic? what would I do? She could jump across buildings.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know.
I want to be lesbionic.
Don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, we see lesbionic is so much better than I was saying with like lesbianic.
Yeah, I think lesbionic would really be. That would be the...
Shouldn't I just make inappropriate jokes now? Doesn't that mean that like you have Birkenstocks that can leap tall buildings in a single bound? I don't know.
No, my feet, not the Birkenstocks.
Oh, okay.
But I have to wear special Birkenstocks in order to accommodate the extra use they get from all of my leaping.
Don't we have to go, what are all the other ones? So, and then instead of being recharged by the sun, you go to Home Depot. Okay, yours was good too.
I go to Northampton.
So weak, must go to Northampton. Oh, it's going to be one of those type of shows, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What else would... So write us, because we will talk about it next week. Yes. If you think that there are other characteristics of being lesbionic. And again, this is another one of those moments where as soon as we say it, I think, oh, it's going to be really easy to write the description for this week's show because it's going to have the word lesbionic. Wouldn't it be amazing if that somehow ends up in Merriam-Webster?
Ooh.
And they have to trace the etymology? And it says etymology, T-S-I-S-G.
That'd be pretty amazing.
Which is, this show is so gay. Do you know that you can get This Show Is So Gay t-shirts?
You can.
Do you have one?
I don't.
Huh.
I need one.
Oh, I should get you one.
Yeah.
This Show Is So Gay t-shirts, This Show Is So Gay magnets, you can get by going to the Facebook group. There's a link there on the Facebook group. You would think that it's on the thisshowissogay.com. I'll put it up there, but it's on the Facebook group. Type in "This Show Is So Gay" and you can get t-shirts and magnets, and all 100% of the proceeds from the t-shirts and the magnets go to me. So that's good. That's a good thing.
I want my shirt to say lesbionic.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would, because we could have a whole line of "This Show Is So Gay" t-shirts.
Oh yeah.
All right. I'm on it. I'm totally on it. All right. Over in Maine, gay marriage supporters in Maine gathered more than 5,000 signatures during the first official day of petition gathering around the state. Equality Maine targeted a number of communities, including Portland, Kennebunk, Biddeford, York. I'm not reading all these places. They gathered all these places on Saturday. Their idea was to hit heavily attended summer festivals. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of lesbionic people at the summer festivals. To put gay marriage on the 2012 ballot, organizers need to collect at least 57,277 voter signatures by January 30th. They're already at 5,200 after a day. The bill would first go to the legislature, which would have an option to pass it. You know, that's interesting. You don't hear a ton. I feel like most of the stories about voter initiatives are always about getting rid of gay marriage and not for, you know, actually gay marrying people.
Right.
Because we like when people get gay married. So that's going on.
Cool.
As I look up another story, because there's another story I want to talk about.
Okay.
Give me another characteristic of being lesbionic.
I think instead of needing a U-Haul after the first date, you can actually carry your own stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a good thing.
Yeah, including the couches and the blender and the toaster oven.
And that similar to the Black Canary, You know, the Black Canary who can, she has her sonic scream. Is that the Black Canary? Yeah, it totally is. She has her sonic scream.
Yeah.
Lesbionic people can do that too. They can push people back when they open their mouths and focus their Indigo Girls scream.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Would
I
be.
Feel like we're offending all sorts of people today.
Probably.
That's where we have to go back to our roots of not offending people and remind folks that England and Ireland, two totally different countries.
Indeed.
Go listen to a show from a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Oh, by the way, got some emails about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really popular in Ireland right now. Oddly, though, our stock went up in England. Just want to put that out there. In New York, this is fascinating. They're saying that now with gay marriage, mm-hmm. being able to gay marry mm-hmm. in New York.
Yes.
I love when they say it like that.
Yeah.
That same-sex couples may account for 1 in 4 New York marriage licenses.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's certainly more than the 10% rule.
Yeah.
And then even if you take two people, because obviously they're getting married to one other person, that would be 20%. And this is more than that.
Yeah.
Wow. So a lot of people.
And, that is a lot of people.
And there are a lot of people in the wedding planning business who are saying that they are doing so much more business now. That's a really good thing.
It is a good thing.
That's a really good thing. So there's that. There are some articles you guys should totally look up that gays are discovering new freedoms in Egypt.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa. That's
so that's
awesome.
That's kind of cool. There are folks that are pushing for wider recognition of their civil rights. Now, you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
There is new research that gives scientific stamp of approval for bisexuality.
There wasn't before.
Well, see, who cares if there was or wasn't? Did we need the scientific stamp of approval?
Actually, I did hear about that. A friend of mine told me about that.
In an unusual scientific about face, researchers at Northwestern University have found evidence that at least some men who identify themselves as bisexual are in fact sexually aroused by both women and men. This finding is not likely to surprise bisexuals, who have long asserted that attraction often is not limited to one sex. But for many years, the question of bisexuality has bedeviled scientists. Because you were away. You were away when I talked to Robin Oakes.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Because so did you miss the whole iBrattleboro thread too? Did we talk about that at all?
No.
So there was this whole thing that happened on iBrattleboro. So if you folks who are listening for the first time, iBrattleboro is a local marketplace of ideas. It's very nice of me, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Where five people can go on there and vent about how much the select board sucks, and in particular the young gay one who had his computer open during the last meeting, and now people want to go to the Vermont Attorney General the Vermont Secretary of State to see if that young gay select guy was violating open meeting laws by talking to people on Facebook and telling them what was happening during the meeting. And I was by the way, this is me. They're talking about me because I took in comments because I was trying to make the meeting more accessible and people were pissed about that. Anyway, so iBrattleboro, marketplace of ideas. Really free exchange there of very bitter people and me. Someone had posted, I'm just sick of the bisexual community being co-opted by the gay community, and this is just the last straw. So I'm like, oh God, what happened? Something happened.
Yeah.
And so I wrote, hey, what happened? Because they referred to Pride Month, and I was nominally aware of what was going on in Pride Month, and I don't remember the Kill the Bisexuals legislation of Brattleboro Pride Month. So I wrote, what happened? And they said, well, just, it's always LGBT, and the bees just need to get out of that because we are not at the table and nobody is validating us. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's, you know, valid. That's valid. But at the same time, it's kind of important that the L's, the G's, the B's, and the T's somewhat stick together because we're all being discriminated against for the same reason. And there is some power in numbers. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that there shouldn't be bisexual pride, which there is, and there are amazing organizations that do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there is some power in that. And I got blasted. The thread kept going and going. I got blasted of just saying, you're just perpetuating the patriarchy. And because that's what I do, by the way.
Oh, right, because you're a guy.
I have never in my life been told that I am perpetuating the patriarchy as much as I'm told that in Brattleboro, Vermont. I mean, even like at the co-op, do you need a box patriarch? You know, like it just comes up all the time. So even after I said, I do not want to participate in this thread anymore, the thread still continued to be blasting me. people were writing, he, don't worry about him, he's just so young and he doesn't have the capacity to understand social change, but he will, he grew up in the 80s. It was just like, and I wanted to write back and just say, okay, seriously, stop talking about me, I can hear you.
Yeah, really.
But anyway, a lot of pride in bisexual pride, and I think it's a fantastic thing, but I do think that there's some strength in numbers. And the whole point that people were saying, because I said repeatedly that I identify as a gay man, their comment was, I don't understand why you even have to say that. And my response is, I have to say that because I don't have the same rights as you do.
Right.
And so I do. We haven't talked about this in a long time.
No.
So if someone said, Jody, describe yourself in 5 words. Here we go.
Okay. Tall.
Okay.
Blonde.
Okay.
Strong.
Okay.
Married.
Yep. I feel like I'm baiting you with this one.
Geeky.
Okay. Gay by far would be one of my 5. And it would. So I don't know. I don't know what to... people don't like that, and I don't see why you even have to define yourself that way, because it's defined me so much. Also because I have a gay radio show and, you know...
Right. Lesbian or some variation, butch actually would probably come before lesbian, and that would be like 6.
Okay.
Because it doesn't come up for me as much as the other ones do.
Right.
Like, I've, the thing that's foremost on my mind right now is the wellness journey I've been on. So that's why, like, strong, it comes before any of that other stuff, because I've been feeling so strong lately and healthy. I would probably put that in there too.
Healthy.
It's just not what's coming up for me right now.
Right.
And I just had my 11th wedding anniversary, so married, you know, comes up pretty.
I don't understand. When close. You say anniversary, I love that people celebrate living together. That's just cute. Yeah, it's very endearing.
It's very lesbianic.
I will say yet again, and I want to pause here in all seriousness and congratulate Jenny Karstead, because I was nervous she was going to get deported, and now that I see that the U.S. is doing an about face,
she's gonna write to you one of those nasty grams.
Jenny Karstead, the address is thisshowisogay@aol.com.
it'll just say one word or something.
Anyone else from Minnesota, bring it.
Oh, it's gonna come.
It's gonna be Broughton.
Oh.
You think?
Yeah.
Are they a passionate group?
They can be.
I just figured if any time adversity comes across their path, they would just look and say, okay.
No. That right there is what's gonna get you the email.
It wasn't the other one. Oh, no, I'm happy. I really would like to keep the Minnesotan population in the country that they are nominally a part of. Okay, so we have amazing shows coming up for you. Next week, we have actress and writer Tucky Williams, who's got this incredible, incredible web series. So we're going to talk about that all next week. But to learn more about all the cool goings-ons with our little gay radio show, you stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. Send us an email if you're from Minnesota. If... you're from Ireland. If you're from South Dakota, do you know, learn this week?
Mm.
Totally a state.
Yes, it is.
Totally a state.
Mm-hmm. It has been for a while.
Yeah, I just thought North Dakota too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought North Dakota was just South Dakota's hat. It's a total state. Bring it. This show is so gay at AOL.com. I'm like just baiting people.
You really are.
I'm on it. Every email gets answered. I might send you an e-card thanking you for your feedback and telling you to tell other people about the show there in the Midwest. Is Minnesota in the Midwest?
Yes,
does that
it
count?
Is. Okay. It's like the heart of the Midwest.
I thought it's like in the frozen tundra. Bring it. This show is so gay at AOL.com. And of course, strolling over to the Facebook, type in This Show is So Gay, like us. We like you. We like them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Despite everything
everything you're saying.
Yeah. I'm in that mood. I would like to say that it's opening week at the college that Jody and I are working at.
Yes.
We're a little punchy.
A little bit.
This show is so gay at AOL.com. And of course, know that anything offensive that I said on this week's show was indeed scripted by Jody. So, and if you go to this Show is So Gay Facebook group, you can buy some This Show is So Gay merchandise. I guarantee you, I can make this 100% guarantee that if you are single and you wear This Show is So Gay t-shirts, then you will indeed be wearing a This Show Is So Gay t-shirt. So get out there and do some amazing thing. I know. I just felt like I had to back off it because I don't want to provide false hope.
You shouldn't.
I shouldn't.
Yeah, it's bad.
I do it every week.
Yeah.
Go out there. Go rock out, as our guest earlier tonight urged us to do. Go rock out. Go make your own music. Go save a Minnesotan from deportation. And discover your... You don't have to be... I actually don't think that you have to be a lesbian to be lesbionic.
Perhaps not. We'll have to research that.
All right. We'll look into that for next week's show. So go do some amazing things. Apologies for everything said on this show. And remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Emptiness is starting to warm me in. I can't get out, I can't get out. I'll meet you later, yet that I'm not done. She's trying hard, you're trying not to fight her hand.